As an unlicensed doctor, we suggest a prescription for one of our shows. Sign up for our free podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Fake Doctor's Orders. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand.
Cronwall regroups now for the Red Wings as the puck bounds into the Toronto zone and gets behind the Leaf defense. Trying to center and score! Zetterberg was taken out of the play, but was able to feed the puck back, and Johan Franzen has his second goal of the game.
There he had it, two of the four goals last night. The Franzen-Zetterberg show, really the big part for the Detroit Red Wings. A 4-1 win over the Toronto Maple Leafs. For the Maple Leafs and Red Wings, they get back at it tonight in Detroit. Joe Louis Arena will have all the action for you on Sportsnet 590, the fan. But first of all, Gord Stellick, along with Mark Osborne, welcoming you to Hockey Nation on Sportsnet 590. The Fan, 11 games around the National Hockey League, including Toronto, Detroit. What kind of countdown chatting about the various different games. Chuck Fletcher, the general manager of the Minnesota Wild, will join us in a few minutes' time. And Ozzy, obviously for the Maple Leafs, they need to play like they did last Sunday against the New York Rangers.
Absolutely, Gord. I mean, a back-to-back affair. I mean, they did not play well last Saturday against the Pittsburgh Penguins, but rebounded. And normally, I think traditionally over the course of these last many years, the Leafs have not fared well on the back end of a back-to-back affair, correct?
Correct.
So hopefully that trend obviously changes, because the performance last night, for everybody's standards, was very, very subpar. Disappointing, confusing. What other kind of words can I describe yesterday's affair?
Well, it's
perplexing.
Perplexing would be one, but also from a Red Wing point of view, it's not like one team is rested and the other's tired. Actually, I think the Leafs should be rested after last night, and the Red Wings should be tired. They get right back at it. Some goaltending news as well, and a guy that tended goal for so many years around the National Hockey League and for the Red Wings, and now an analyst for them on their broadcast crew, Chris Osgood, joining us. How you doing, Chris?
How are you guys?
We're good. And then the big story, you know, Jimmy Howard not able to play. Peter Mrazek scored, called up from the minor league. So I don't know what you can talk about his injury. They say it's a groin, but just basically whether it's Gustafson or Mrazek, which way you think they're going to go?
Oh, I think they're going to play Gustafson for sure. I mean, he had a great year last year for Detroit. You know, Indiana was one of the reasons why they made the playoffs in the end. Had 16 wins, won some big games. I thought he played real well in the playoffs as well. So, you know, you never want to have your number two guy sitting there for too long to start the season, you know, for two reasons. Just you want to keep him involved and keep him playing well, just in case he's needed more. And just, so you know, so he feels part of the team, so he's not kind of left on the outside. He is, but part of the team. But, you know, you need to play a couple games and get in there to really feel part of it. And he played so well last year, and he deserves to get the start tonight, obviously.
Hey, Chris, is it okay if I call you Ozzy? Like, I mean, are you a little confused, Gord?
We know two Ozzies on the show?
Yeah,
well,
really?
I know.
Yeah, you can call me that.
You know,
well, I know that.
Way worse, trust me.
I just know
around here.
Chris Osgood will be the Aussie that makes sense, just for people out there listening. Go ahead, Mark Osborne.
Well, now you've really thrown me for a loop. But anyways, Gustav Nyquist, four games, four straight goals, an incredible season last year with 28 goals, I believe, and it was in, 57 games? So the kid continues to have, you know, quite the breakout after being recalled last season from Grand Rapids. Ozzy, what do you like about his game? Is it just his simple versatility? You know, obviously he's got a great skill set, but maybe it being helpful by playing with some of the guys like he did last night in Zetterberg and Franzen.
Well, I think beyond how skilled he is and his hockey intelligence is far and away a lot better than a lot of guys. He's not only on the ice, but off the ice, the way he handles himself. He's always prepared. He's calm. He doesn't get too excited about things or too low. Very intelligent player with everything he does. If you notice, he can find the soft spot when he needs to. And he does, even last night, although the goal wasn't a great goal on Reimer, he just gets the puck off a lot quicker than a lot of other guys do. And he can find the openings. He's a very, very smart player. But, you know, I think he's played 100, just over 100 games in the National Hockey League, and he has somewhere in the high 60s of points. So, I mean, I don't believe he's a flash in the pan. In Maine, he was this type of player. I was coaching in Grand Rapids when he was there for 2 years. He was that type of player. So, and he really enjoys the bigger stage. And he won't allow himself to take that dip. He's too smart, and he's just, and don't forget, he's older than a lot of the other younger guys the Red Wings have right now. So that's to his advantage. And, you know, the Red Wings are lucky to have him, especially last year. I talked about Gustafson earlier as a big part of them making the playoffs, but he was probably the main reason going down the stretch last year why they made it.
Well, Chris, you know the passion, the hockey fans in Toronto, hockey fans Detroit as well. And so today being a Saturday, I run into tons of people. And their question is, why can the Leafs not play like the Red Wings? I mean, this isn't the Red Wings of Lidstrom and Yzerman, whatever. This is the team that's been developed, whether it was you coaching them at Grand Rapids or others. What is that mantra? What is this gold standard system-wise that works for the Red Wings so well?
Well, I think it's team-oriented, for starters. There's no selfish players. Nobody looks at their stats first and foremost. They look at how the team plays as a whole. I mean, if they win a game 4-3, you never talk about a guy who had the two goals in the locker room. It's always about how you're going to get better as a team defensively and play as a cohesive five-man unit. And it's just the torch being carried down from guys like Yzerman and now Shanahan's in Toronto. Guys that are on defense, Larry Murphy, a lot of guys, Nick Lindstrom's. Now you have Henrik Zetterberg and Pavel Datsyuk. And if you listen to Zetterberg, he really never talks about himself ever. He just goes out and continuously plays. And him and Pavel Datsyuk are probably, to me, two of the best two-way forwards in the National Hockey League. And they play both ends. And when the younger guys come up and see that, not only in the regular season, these guys do this in practice, in exhibition, in training camp, see how they handle themselves on and off the ice. It's contagious. And all the guys do that. And they're coached the same way in Grand Rapids as Mike Babcock coaches the Red Wings in Detroit. So when these guys come up, it's seamless. They know how to play. They know what's expected of them. And they just go out and play and do it. And I think the Red Wings are really on to something with having Blashill and Babcock together and the assistant coaches in both Grand Rapids and Detroit, where they're all coaching the exact same way. So when these guys come up or go down, it's a seamless transition for these guys.
Chris, each game that we have for the Maple Leafs, I have to come up with three keys for the Maple Leafs for victory. And you know the Red Wings inside and out. You know their tendencies, their strengths, their weaknesses. So help me out here. What do the Leafs have to do in order to beat the Red Wings? Now, like you know, in all seriousness, well, so, you know, what are some of their weak tendencies maybe?
Well, for starters, I would say sort outs in their own zone. I mean, last night it was horrible. I mean, the first goal was really Zetterberg forechecking by himself against four guys, and they turned the puck over Polak, I believe. But it's first of all, they got to stop turning the puck over. Second of all, they have to sort things out in their own zone and protect the house. I mean, three of those goals were layup goals back door last night, and Reimer didn't have much of a chance on any of those. And secondly, I just say passion and desire and their compete level has got to be a heck of a lot higher than it obviously was last night. I mean, I was going into that game expecting there to be a lot of hits, maybe a couple fights, fast pace up and down the ice, and the Leafs just didn't bring any of that, what I just mentioned, and Detroit brought more than that to the Leafs. And for me, it's those three things. But the number one thing that I noticed with Toronto is they got to get things sewed up in their own end before they expect to win a lot of games or even go on a consistently long winning streak of any type.
So, Mark, you've got Chris Osgood doing your keys to the game. Can he mow your lawn or any rentals you want him to do at the home front?
You were surprised by that, weren't you? Pretty astute questioning.
Well, Ed, this is the best keys we've heard so far, okay. So this is going to make a big night that way. You know, you mentioned Gustafson earlier and how well he played last year. Didn't have a good final preseason game against the Toronto Maple Leafs. Hasn't played yet this year. And I would say the key about getting comfortable again. But when you as a goaltender, you know, had a bit of a rough patch or had a bad game, what is the key for that as far as trying to get back on track, especially mentally?
I mean, obviously, the first thing is to leave it behind and move on. And we always said, you know, right after the game, let's think about what we're going to do tomorrow and improve and get better. And Gustafson does that. I think since he's been in Detroit, he works with Jim Bedard, and good or bad, he's got himself into a groove where he works the same every day and does the same things before practice and after. And he's got himself into that mode of going out and playing and not thinking. I think when he first came to Detroit, he was thinking a lot. He was overthinking plays. He was coming out too far. I mean, he didn't look like the Gustafson that I saw that first came over here that was in Toronto from Sweden. And I think it took Jim Bedard and Gustafson himself, obviously, a full year to get himself back to not thinking and just going out there and playing. And I thought he was great last year. Even the games that he lost, he was really, really good. And he gave them an opportunity to win every game. I thought he went in the playoffs and played well for them. And Mike Babcock, right. He doesn't want him sitting there for too long. I mean, Jimmy Howard probably played too many games for the last 3 years up until last year. He got injured a bunch of times, and that had something to do with it. So I know they want to play Gustafson a little more, rest Jimmy Howard more than they have previous years. and so he feels healthy down the stretch and going into the playoffs.
Chris, Johan Franzen, a couple of tallies yesterday, left the game early. Any indication if he will start tonight for the Red Wings?
They weren't saying. The only thing they were really talking about was Howard not dressing for tonight. So I think that's going to be a game-time decision. He had this little stinger in his leg. Said he was just sore. So there's more than anything, I think it was precautionary. So, you know, they weren't saying, but I would suspect that he'd probably be in the lineup for the Red Wings tonight. I'd be surprised if he wasn't.
Well, we look back certainly for a more intense effort or competitive effort from Toronto. Hopefully a great game tonight. Chris, thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you, guys.
Chris Osgood from the Detroit Red Wings, their analyst, a former goaltender. Aussie meets Aussie here on Hockey Nation here on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Chuck Fletcher is going to join us in a few minutes' time. Like we said, they're not playing tonight. The Wild are 2-1-0. They'll play tomorrow in Los Angeles. And taking a look, he talked about injuries. You mentioned bringing up Johan Franzen. Game-time decision. First, on the goaltending front, you know, I got to tell you, Jonas Gustafsson, they're quite happy with his play last year. 2.63 goals against average in 27 games. Peter Mrazek actually was like 1.97, kid they called up from Grand Rapids. And I hope Gustafsson's in. Based on the way he played that preseason game where the Red Wings arrived late and they haven't put him in yet, and he'll get the start tonight. Have to see if he can bounce back. That was a real shaky effort.
Yeah, you know what? Without tipping my hat, Gord, I mean, that's one of the keys for me. You know, get to Gustafsson. I mean, for whatever reason, I know Chris Osgood just mentioned it, that, you know, he's worked with goaltending coach Jim Bedard. His game has been, you know, maybe redefined in Detroit, but I think for any goaltender, leaving a less than perfect defensive type of focus, you know, as a goaltender, you go to a structured place. I mean, you have to improve. You're not seeing as many quality shots. I would have been surprised had Gustafsson's numbers not improved after going to the Red Wings. Those are pretty good numbers, but don't be fooled by numbers either. I'm not a big Gustafsson fan, and I don't think you are either. Based
on
anybody
Toronto memories, jeez,
you know. So yeah. Stop building this guy up.
Well, we'll find out tonight. And by the way, Brandon Kozin out of the lineup. Matt Fratton will take his spot. I don't know. I have no idea. I have no idea why anyone would even talk about playing seven defensemen this time of the year. So Fratton,
well, who's talking about it?
Not me, but other people. Just okay. Somewhere. Just chat.
Okay, because you
chat
brought it up last
time.
Night as well. You know, like I wonder if they're going to dress 7D.
No, I did not say that. Okay. The concept, the notion of it irks me. And we'll find out later the one defenseman who'll get scratched. My concern is the other six play better. Okay, they did last night. But what's your feeling if they're going to scratch somebody? Well, they have to scratch someone tonight on D. Who will it be?
Well, I'm still hearing that Robidas is going to sit out the entire weekend. You asked me that question again last night after the game. You know, who would I, you know, scratch if he comes back in the lineup? You know, do you go with a Roman Polak, who was -3 last night? Looks like he struggled at times, and, you know, maybe sometimes for these, even an older guy, I know that that's not a fun position to be in. And yet, you know, sometimes if you're approached the proper way and say, listen, you know, just take a look, take a step back. You'll be back in come Tuesday night and in Long Island. And if it was for me, maybe he would be the healthy guy who sits.
Now, we mentioned there's 11 games going on around the National Hockey League. And obviously last night you would have hoped Air Canada Center would have rocked like the Bell Center did in Montreal. Wasn't the case, but I have to give Milan Lucic credit. He spoke to the media for the first time since he was fined $5,000 for his inappropriate gesture to the Montreal Canadiens fans Thursday.
What was it that he did? Like, what was the inappropriate gesture?
Probably.
Can you describe it?
Well,
like,
probably,
I'm still trying to look at it and say, well, what was it that he did?
Wait till our producer, Matt Brown, screws up, and I'll show you again how it works. But okay. Lucic said, not proud of what he did. Apologizes to the Bruins organizations, the Bruins fans, Canadian organization and fans. Regrets what he did. Montreal crowd can get under your skin sometimes, but are great fans. He's got to do a better job of controlling his emotions, is what he said.
Boy, I mean, he's getting into trouble in lots of different places, right? He's not a fan of his hometown in Vancouver, right? I mean, the whole community there, right?
I know.
Man, the trend just continues. But I don't mind it because I think the Bruin-Hab rivalry, I mean, it just continues on. Why? What's the big deal?
Oh, I know. It's anyways, you go back about, you know, when they knocked down
Ryan Miller that time in Buffalo. Like just that whole attitude, that mantra. You know, you've got to have that, I would say, ugly guy, just that guy that ticks people off, just the annoying guy, the Darcy Tucker, the Gary Roberts, in different ways. They're different kinds of guys that get under your skin that way. And Lucic is a little more verbal, a little more out front that way, a little more obvious. But when you can play, and he can certainly play, that's a huge asset in your lineup.
No, you know what? And it was not surprising. Well, it was interesting in some ways that Dale Weiss was a healthy scratch that night. I don't think they wanted to add fuel to the fire, right? And the Canadians came away with a 6-4 win. And, nonetheless, I think the Bruins are in Buffalo tonight and no Ryan Miller. So that doesn't
Ryan Miller shutout last night. Some good defensive performances out there. And one team not playing tonight. They'll play Los Angeles tomorrow. They've got off to a 2-1 start, that being the Minnesota Wild. Chuck Fletcher, their general manager, joining us. Gord Stellick, Mark Osborne on Hockey Nation. How you doing, Chuck?
I'm doing well. How are you guys doing?
We're good. And just, a couple of years where you had your splashy free agent signings. We had an abbreviated season with the lockout. A lot of things like that. Where do you have your team this year as far as the expectations go?
Well, it's a good question. I mean, we think it's going to be a challenge to make the playoffs for any team in the West. Everybody's so loaded up, but our expectation is we'll make the playoffs, and it'll be a challenge to get there. But we've done that the last 2 years, and we certainly don't want to take a step back. And from there, you never know. You get in and you see how healthy you are, and see how your goalie's playing and the matchup and everything like that, and you just take it from there. There's just so many good teams in the West, it's hard to look too far ahead, but getting into the playoffs will be a tough challenge, but it's certainly one we expect to achieve.
Chuck, when you talk about your goaltending situation, it's interesting to, just go down the course of time from, Nick Backstrom. You brought in Brizgalov. I mean, Josh Harding and his health concerns and issues, and now all of a sudden Darcy Kuemper has gotten off to a pretty good start, .972 save percentage. The only goal that he, or two goals that he gave up was against the loss in Anaheim, only two against in a 2-1 loss. Your thoughts about Darcy Kuemper, and can he continue his stellar play thus far?
Well, we hope so, Mark. He he's a 24-year-old goalie, and we think he has great potential, and you never know with young goalies how quickly they can achieve consistent success in the NHL. It's a tough league, but this is a young man that was the top Canadian junior goalie in Red Deer, and he's had very good success in both the ECHL and the American League, and last year played very well for us for about a 2-month stretch after both Backstrom and Harding got hurt. So we believe and Darcy a lot. We believe he will be a quality number one goalie in the NHL. And so far he's looked great. Obviously 79 games to go, but this year could be a challenge still. He's still young. We're hoping for the best, but that's certainly an area of our team where there's probably still some questions circling in terms of the goaltending, but the way Darcy's played so far has been tremendous.
Well, you had experience. We talked about getting Suter and Parise in the fold a couple of summers ago. Thomas Vanek, now I know he's got a history with the Minnesota area. I found it very, if I'm a general manager, I like being able to keep a guy on a term of 3 years. It's a term that can murder you in some of these contracts. The whole process there that you were able to bring him into the fold and get him on 3 years.
Yeah, it worked great. I mean, obviously Thomas has been fortunate. He's made a lot of money in his career, and I think at this stage he wanted to come back to Minnesota. His wife's from the area, and I think he really wanted to be in a location that would be great for his family. And for us, term was everything. We have 10 players under the age of 25 on our team, and over the next 2 to 3 years, a lot of them will be walking into big contracts, and we just wanted to make sure that we have some flexibility going forward. So the term works nicely with both our young players coming in and also with his age. But he's been good for us. He played great last night. He had 7 shots on goal. Was really unlucky not to score. But I thought he was our best forward by quite a margin last night. So he seems to be acclimating and getting better every day and starting to form some good chemistry with Mikko Koivu.
Chuck, one of the buzzwords in this city with the hiring of a couple of analytic guys that Brendan Shanahan brought into the mix is got everybody talking for quite some time right now. And I know that numbers and stats and information is something that each general manager is always looking for and looking for new edges or whatever. What are your thoughts on this whole buzz of analytics and how you view it being brought up by your dad, old school? Where do you lie with all of this kind of stuff?
Well, I find it just a little bit amusing. I think, analytics is just simply gathering statistics and information and using that to predict future performance or to analyze the situation. I think it's been going on forever. Obviously there's some new stats coming out and the fancy stats, they called them, and teams are maybe relying on that a lot more. But I remember going back to the early days in Florida with Roger Wilson, and he was constantly looking at different statistics and different ways of looking at the game and trying to analyze things and break things down. So I think the only difference now is there seems to be a real cottage industry of people that are, they're keeping track of zone entries and statistics and trying to measure puck possession. And that'll continue to evolve, which is a good thing. But, we certainly have people that help us in that regard. And it's a part of our evaluation process. But the only thing I think if you had mentioned this to Roger Nielsen, if he were still with us, he would have he'd been doing this whole career. So I think there's it's just a little bit more prominent and maybe knowing what it was before.
Now, great name you bring up in Roger Nielsen. So, Chuck, just to make clear, you didn't go out and buy a protractor and compass and all that this year?
No, I don't think so. But, we've had... When I got to Minnesota, Doug Rising had already, set up an analytics department, and he had hired a couple young people to come in and help analyze situations and use video and stats to help the decision-making process. So certainly in Minnesota, it's been a part of the equation for quite a few years, and I don't want to take any credit.
Well, when you talk...
I guess most teams...
Well, we talk about when you're, analyzing, it still comes down to player evaluation. I'm interested in a guy like Jared Spurgeon, who was a, late pick by the Islanders. You get him as a free agent. He's playing, the second most minutes after Ryan Suter on your team. And I'm always curious about undersized defensemen, but guys being able to evaluate a player somewhere else that seems to fit with your team a lot better than he did elsewhere.
Well, there's no question he's been a revelation for us. And for a small defenseman, he's probably only about 5'7". He's actually remarkably good defensively. And, Kurt Giles was a smaller defenseman that was very good defensively many, many years ago, but he was more of a physical guy. And Spurgeon just is a weak defender without being physical, and yet he can also move the puck. We got lucky with him. The funny thing is we brought him in to try out to come in and help our rookie camp team. We thought he really helped the power play there. Sure enough, we won the tournament, and he was the best player on our team, so we brought him to main camp, and he played well there, so we gave him a contract and 2 months later he was in the NHL. But I don't think any of us would have predicted that when we first brought him in on a tryout. So sometimes you got to get lucky, but he's such a smart player, and it's so easy to pass him because of his size, but when you watch him night in and night out, you realize how much better he is.
Chuck, Ryan Suter, who is always near the top of league leaders of ice time, just over 27 minutes, and there's been a lot of talk of, pulling different guys on different teams and maybe pulling back on some of their ice time. Is Ryan the type of guy that... he's just perfectly capable to just be so consistent at a high level of minutes. I remember when I played, Chris Chelios was one guy that just amazed me on how well he was able to play at both ends of the ice and still log a lot of minutes. Is Suter in that type of category?
I would think so. He's an effortless skater. He's not a player that's leading the rush, and he's not a player that's playing a very heavy physical game. So I think those two things allow him to save a lot of his energy, but he gets up to full speed so easily. He recovers so quickly. Rick Wilson is always telling me that peeled off a long shift Suter, and 20, 30 seconds later, he's ready to go again. So there's obviously some gifts there genetically that allow him to recover. But he's just a heads-up player. I think we hope as our young defensemen continue to mature and evolve that, he won't have to play 30 minutes a game. Suter won't have to play 30 minutes a game anymore. But it's such a competitive league, it's hard not to have him face when he's capable of doing so many things for your team.
Well, big game tomorrow against the Los Angeles Kings. Chuck, always appreciate you making time. All the best. Good luck this year.
Yeah, thanks, Gord. Thanks, Mark.
Chuck Fletcher, general manager of the Minnesota Wild. And I can remember that 1993 series, mm-hmm. Leafs and Red Wings, and at the Omni Hotel in Detroit. And Chuck was there. And basically he was, I forget what he was doing. No, he was leaving, working for Donnie Meehan and Newport Sports, mm-hmm. and he was going to Florida. Correct, Florida, to work with Brian Murray and that,
yep.
and the Panthers, and all those years later, general manager. So well schooled that way. Interesting team. You had Vanek, you had all the other signings, but you look at, they've drafted well. And then I always like, I bring up the Jared Spurgeon guy because I love guys that discover jewels somewhere else.
Yeah, you know, and I mean, obviously he's one of those guys. But you're talking about the Wild, and you go back to 2 years ago. You know, they make the playoffs. You know, first round loss, I believe it was to Chicago. Then last year, they take that next step. They come back. What were they, down 3-1 against Colorado? Was that true?
I think so, yeah.
So, you know, they
beat them the first two games this year.
Yeah, they moved to the, to the second round. And, you know, interesting, you know, some of those type of players that you talk about. And of course, the Thomas Vanek is an interesting thing. And like you mentioned already, I like guys who sign guys to 3-year deals, you know, and not 5 or 7 or ridiculous amounts. And so, you know, Thomas Vanek will be an interesting, you know, guy for them. A local, you know, he's a local kid, right? From
his wife is from there.
He's the Minnesota area or whatever. There. So you try to, you know, maybe, you know, I don't know, just bring things together in that positive light. And does he have something to gain by going back there? And, you know, does his career kind of revitalize? I mean, do you think he's on the, you know, top end moving downward, or is he one that, can still be, 35, get you 40 goals possibly?
Well, I think he's got something to prove about in the playoffs, because he got to play without that kind of pressure in Buffalo. And last year, it wasn't exactly like he knocked everyone's socks off with the Montreal Canadiens. He did more so in the regular season, less in the playoff. And I think, like, you know, they say at some point you could have all the money in the world, but you do, I think most guys want to prove something. Or you could be like Nathan Horton, go to Columbus, which is not a bad team. But, you know, move from Boston for no pressure. And now it looks like Nathan Horton's his whole career's in a little bit in jeopardy because of injury situations. But I if I'm a Thomas Vanek, I'd want to be the guy that, you know, hits the mother load in the playoffs some point.
Okay, I'm going to remember what you said. Columbus, not a bad team. Okay.
Well, they're not what they were. Okay. They're not what they were before, where they were one of the dregs of.
No. They're an up and coming.
Yeah.
There's a lot to like about the Columbus Blue Jackets here, my friend.
Old pal. I agree with you, okay. But I'm talking about last summer when he went there. Was part of the guy leaves the Boston Bruins, a team vying for Stanley Cup because he wants to have.
He won there. He won a cup.
But then he wants to go and have the big porch swing and no pressure. Nobody knows you can go through town and all that.
What he wanted. The port swing and everything? That's why he left?
Yeah.
Why he left?
Yeah, like, you know, what's a crock and barrel, whatever it's called, okay. That you can go for breakfast, same kind of thing. That's why he left.
Okay.
That's why he left. You know, rather than
the bright lights. He wasn't enticed or, you know, he wasn't sold an opportunity to go to a market where, you know, things have fallen off the rails a little bit. And now all of a sudden, look at Columbus. Like, it's a nice story, right?
Well, it is a nice story, but I get annoyed, too, about there's no sales tax in Florida. Well, great, there's 7,000 fans there. Wow, that's great. Go get your early bird special with their polyester shorts on and nobody notices you. So, wow, you get more take-home pay? Wow, compared to playing in Toronto or New York or, I don't know, or someone like that? Good riddance if you want to do that, as far as I'm concerned.
Well, that's the reason there's 30 teams, Gord, you know, because you need to – every market needs – to produce a winner. Like, I mean, if we were to say that about the Kansas City Royals in baseball, like, you know, why not go to New York or Los Angeles or whatever? But no, Kansas City, I know that bothers you because they're in the World Series now and the Blue Jays are still trying to get to the
mon frere, which you're not my frere. I think Kansas City story is a great story. Great story. And, you know, and probably teams like New York or that, the big market teams didn't have a lot of interest in a lot of Royals players. But Anyway, with the Minnesota Wild, Thomas Vanek, after the other free agent signings, they'll be up against the Los Angeles Kings tomorrow. We do want to count down. We'll have Leafs Nation pregame. We'll start focusing more on the Leafs taking on the Detroit Red Wings tonight. We have all the action here on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. But when we come back, another nice story so far. They haven't played a ton of games, the Vancouver Canucks, but wow, been going swimmingly so far for new general manager Jimmy Benning and new head coach Willie Desjardins. We'll chat with our buddy John Garrett from the Vancouver Canucks broadcast crew and Sportsnet. When we return, you're listening to Hockey Nation with Gord Stellick, Mark Osborne on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
This ain't like when you're at a game and sign up for a credit card just to get the prize and then you immediately cancel the credit card. Because there's no prize when you sign up for our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590, The Fan on demand.
Welcome back to Hockey Nation. Gord Stellick, Mark Osborne with you on Sportsnet 590. The Fan, we're counting down to tonight's action. The Toronto Maple Leafs, Detroit Red Wings back at it after a very discouraging 4-1 loss for the Toronto Maple Leafs last night. They get to get back at it at Joe Louis Arena. For the next little while, though, we go around the NHL. 11 games in total being played, and checked in with Chuck Fletcher in Minnesota a few minutes ago. It's interesting about big games as well. Well, divisional rivalries, and we're looking at Colorado, Montreal. Patrick Waugh returning. We talked to Peter McNabb earlier this week, and he said Patrick Waugh's all set. Toronto, Ottawa, Montreal. He knows it's going to be a media circus in all three cities.
Yeah, you know, and he's probably loving it too. I wonder, did he invite Ronald Corey to the game tonight?
So we can just tell him to get lost again, give him a ticket, and then kick him out of his seat again.
That could be one of the best things I've ever watched.
It was. And poor Ron Corey, he was at the mercy. Boy. Well, he hired the guy, Mario Tremblay.
Oh, yeah.
He really showed them, didn't he? He showed them. Well, a guy that's always kept perspective about that, of course, John Garrett, our man with Sportsnet, Rogers Sports, and with Rogers Sportsnet, part of the Vancouver Canuck broadcast as well, joining Gord Stellick and Mark Osborne. So, Cheech, who did you ever tell off on the management side like Patrick Waugh did? What was your defining moment when you were getting... I doubt you ever got booed in goal, but say hypothetically it happened. What's been your...
Well, I never got into a shouting match with him, but I don't know whether... Ozzy, did you ever play in the old Boston Garden?
Certainly did, yeah. Yeah, I'm old, but not that old, but yes,
yeah.
I still...
Yeah. Okay, Jack Kelly, who was the general manager of the Hartford Whalers at the time.
Mm-hmm.
Don Blackburn was the coach. And remember in the Boston Garden how the management would sit in that, it wasn't a gondola sort of thing. It was just after the first bowl, and it stuck out, and it was, 100 feet from the ice.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, you remember that?
Oh, certainly.
So I'm playing, and Jack is sitting down at the end by our net, and Boston's all over us, and I let in two or three, and Jack is just screaming, and I'm right there. Jack, I can hear you. I can hear you. Blackie, get that effing Garrett out of there. He's broke. He's just yelling at it. I'm looking up at him. Naturally, I had no comeback because I wasn't making any saves, but it was one of those. Jack and his New England accent, it was so funny. And I'd be, oh, yeah.
Hey, John.
Yeah,
John,
I can hear you.
Speaking of the Boston Garden, I was on the ice and dressed for the Red Wings when Jimmy Rutherford played his last game for us, and I think Ray Bourque scored from his own blue line on Jimmy. So that was the farewell tour for Jimmy in his NHL career.
Well, something as well, Cheech. I just actually read Howard Baldwin's book, so I'm sure you would enjoy it because he was responsible for creating the Hartford Whalers and many other things around his NHL career. And Jack Kelly figures prominently in that. But Vancouver, John Garrett's loving this. He's out there. He didn't go on the offensive with Leaf Nation remarks. His team's 3-0. And I'm wondering for Leaf Nation tonight, the fact that Jimmy Howard's out. They're going to start Jonas Gustafsson, and Chris Osgood was just saying how great he thought he played last year. I mean, I'm not big on him. I'm curious what you, and neither is Ozzy from his time in Toronto. What do you think about him compared to Jimmy Howard?
Oh, completely different style. And Gustafsson's all over the map. Although I think that last year, and Jimmy Howard, who watches him more often than I do, he controlled his game a little more. But he was just from post to post, and that's what the goalies say now and all the goalie coaches, well, you go post to post. Well, Gustafsson would go face-off dot to face-off dot, and he'd be right out of the net. He'd go so far, and he wouldn't stop. And he's a big guy, so if he can control himself and stay post to post, he's going to get hit by shots, accidentally get hit because he's so big. So I think he was better last year in controlling his motion, his lateral motion, and just staying in the blue paint and being more in control. But the Leafs, you have to get some shots. You have to get some chances. I don't care who you're playing against. And watching their game last night, it was on before our game. It was a pretty dismal effort. Mm.
John, it was my understanding that we got you on to talk about the Vancouver Canucks and not Jonas Gustafsson.
He can talk about anything, Ozzy. Again, you think these guys are one-trick ponies. I mean, you did the same with Kelly Rudy last week. John Garrett is a worldly guy. Okay, don't pigeonhole John Garrett.
Okay, right. Come on.
Yeah, no. But we've had enough talk about the Leafs and Red Wings. But let's move on and talk about, you know, a great story. And is the Vancouver Canucks. And so many changes in the offseason. Trevor Linden, Jim Benny, Willie Desjardins, and a great start. And yet, is the great start due to the fact you've played Edmonton twice and Calgary once? Or is this a team that's going to rebound under the likes of Willie Desjardins and not a John Tortorella coach team?
Yeah, and I think the Trevor Linden, Jim Benning has to come into play too. It's a whole, and Gord, you've been around organizations where you can't trust them, and it's everybody's walking on eggshells, from the ticket salespeople to the PR people to the trainers, and you can't talk to anybody, and the general manager has never met half the office staff, and it's with Trevor Linden and Jim Benning. One of the first things Trevor did when he took over as the president is he got everybody who worked in the office, and they got in a big room, and Trevor went around and introduced himself individually to everybody. And take, for example, the fact that they're announcing that their sellout streak is going to be over. Now, Gord, how many teams have you seen where what did Jean Martin and the Colorado Avalanche say they had? 600 or 500 and whatever straight sellouts.
Yeah, now, bogus.
Did you believe that?
No, yeah, we did in Toronto years ago too. Gord Finn, the box office manager, said that we went to bed with unsold seats back then, but Stan Bodiak would put down a sellout.
Yeah, and Calgary right now is saying they're at 409 and then continuing on. You know, do I believe Ken King and the Calgary Flames right now? No. So, but Trevor takes over, and that's one of the things he wants to try and get the fans to believe that the organization is going to be more transparent and more social friendly to the fans and respect what the fans say and see. And one of the things is, okay, and they're within 13 of hitting 500 or whatever. And I'm thinking, well, okay, well, you can fudge the numbers till you get to 500. But no, they came out and said, okay. And the streak probably ended sometime last year.
Mm-hmm.
But now it comes out, okay, it's over. And to me, that's just symbolic of what this organization is trying to do. And Willie Desjardins comes in, and they make the deal for Radim Vrbata. And from the first day of training camp, and Ozzy, you know what it's like. If you get put on a line in the first day of training camp and you never have to play with anybody else, and Vrbata played with Henrik and Daniel every shift of inter-squad games, the three training camp games that they played, and now they start the season, and sure, it's the Oilers and the Flames, but what have they got? 15 points or something, the line? Mm-hmm. The chemistry is there, and I think that's one of the things that Willie is going to coach to the player's strengths rather than his system, whereas I think Torts, that was his mistake when he took over, was, okay, I'm going to make these players play my system. They're all going to block shots. They're going to dump and chase. Well, the Sedins don't play dump and chase. They're a control line. And with Radim Vrbata, that's how many times they dump it in a game. They get to the blue line. If there's no play, they'll circle around until they can carry it over the blue line.
Okay, so yeah, the sellout record, I get it now because I couldn't quite understand it. So 474 games, like when it came out yesterday. So they're basically saying tonight's game against Tampa Bay is not going to be sold. I thought there could have been a groundswell to sell it out, but they're basically just putting that one on the back burner as they should. So I do applaud that. The next thing when you talk about the Sedins, Love the Sedins, know all about the Sedins, know they need more balance when it's the playoffs as you do. Where do you see that coming to get some other scoring from other lines?
Well, with Radom Verbata playing on that line, then you demote Alex Burrows to the next line. And Alex Burrows playing with Nick Bonino and Chris Higgins has looked pretty good. And I think that if you can get some production out of that, and they has come in and could be a possible goal scorer. You look at his points in the American League. You look at Lyndon Vey when he won the Western Hockey League scoring title. That just doesn't happen by accident. And he's got the potential. He could put up some points. And Zach Cassian, will he ever play to his potential? He had a pretty good game last night, and he's not getting a ton of minutes. But he is a guy that potentially could put up some offensive numbers. And if that happens, and there's a whole bunch of ifs in there, but they're 3-0. So,
yeah, Johnny, we got about a minute left. Ryan Miller has gone 3-0 in all three games. Eddie Lack gets the start tonight, but just asking about Ryan Miller, obviously, you know, him in the mix, solidifying and giving this organization the type of goaltending that they're used to and accustomed to having, that's got to be a real plus thus far.
Well, and confidence. I think you realize, and you look at some of the teams that are struggling right now, and the Leafs and Edmonton, and why is Calgary doing so well? Well, their goaltending gives them some confidence, gives them some belief. And Ryan Miller, and I look at Edmonton and I say, how could Craig McTavish think that, okay, we've got a young team, we're trying to rebuild, and both our goalies haven't played more than 20 games in any one season in the NHL. Well, I shouldn't say that. Ben Scrivens was 21 games last year, and that's a career high, was 21 games. So your goaltending is learning as the rest of the team is learning, and it's not going to be successful. Whereas the Canucks said, okay, we're not in a rebuild. We want a rebound year. So we're going to get a veteran goaltender in here that's going to give us and our younger players some confidence, and we can take some chances. And he's done that. He's got that air of confidence. And you know what he's like, the U.S. most valuable player at the Olympics. He's got that aura about him, and he promotes it himself. And I think that's infectious, and it gives the defense confidence, and it gives the forwards confidence, and it's your penalty killing. You can make some mistakes on your penalty killing. You know the goalie's going to make some saves.
Well, there's only one goalie, Ozzy, that assisted on Gordie Howe's last goal ever, and that's John Garrett.
Yeah. They and never got credit for it.
Never got
credit. Do you believe that?
Wow.
I never got credit. And even Danny Gallivan, legendary Danny Gallivan describing it. Eric Garrett up to Mark Howe.
Yeah.
Mark carries it up to Gordie. And he beat Denny Heron from about 40 feet or something. And I never got credit. We were getting beat 7-2 or something.
I know. He described the seven goals against you well as well. But that's it. That's why I keep it going, Cheech. We're going to get you that assist because we appreciate your support, the Western Canadian version of Leafs Nation support, John Garrett. Great to hear the Canucks going well. Always appreciate your visits, Cheech.
It is the passion that unites us all.
It's something that unites us all. I don't know what it is. Thanks, John.
We'll talk to you later. Okay, bye.
John Garrett, the analyst for the Vancouver Canucks with Sportsnet.
You know what? I thought the assist was a juicy rebound that he kicked out to center, and that would have been it. No, they missed it.
Well, it was, anyway, vintage yeah, offense, great. John Garrett. When we come back, Eddie Olchuk kicks off the next hour, and then we count down. Leafs, Red Wings, all the action here. You're listening to Hockey Nation, Ozzy and Stelic on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Subscribe to our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. No medical exam or health questions will be asked. Sportsnet 590, The Fan, on demand.
Welcome back to Hockey Nation with Gord Stelic, Mark Osborne on Sportsnet 590. The Fan counting down to tonight's action. The Toronto Maple Leafs taking on the Detroit Red Wings. We'll count down to that the final half hour as we'll have Leafs Nation pregame. Of course, all the action on Sportsnet 590. The Fan, Hockey Nation, we go around the NHL. 11 games in total tonight, as there always is on Saturday. And, of course, as mentioned, so many games on our various Rogers channels. Hockey Night in Canada. CBC is where the Leafs will be taking on the Red Wings on the TV side. And Ozzy, you take a look at some of the games a few minutes before Eddie O joins us, your former line mate, of course. And interesting, we talked about Colorado, Montreal Canadiens with the atmosphere of that first home game against the Boston Bruins. And then when Patrick Waugh comes to town, you get two, I say playoff atmosphere. It's always a great atmosphere there in Montreal, but you know, two games with a little bit more bite to start the season at home.
Yeah, you know, and I think that's what stories are all about. I think that's the history of, you know, the Montreal Canadiens. And I think that's just everything that you love about the game. And, you know, certainly for the province of Quebec and, you know, what Patrick Waugh did, you know, it is a neat thing. I think the NHL scheduling, the NHL has done a good job with how they've, you know, tried to structure scheduling and make it, you know, an important part of what they're trying to accomplish. Is that not correct? That's why you had, like, last Saturday, you had all 30 teams playing on one night, you know? So there's how did it happen that San Jose ends up going to LA for their banner ceremony, right?
Oh, I know.
Like stuff like that is pretty great PR, I believe.
Now, one of the games, intriguing games tonight as well, the New York Islanders at Pittsburgh. And even though the, you know, the Penguins certainly stuck it to the Leafs last Saturday, you know, we viewed them as a team that, they've had some big time playoff disappointments the last couple of years. And then you look at the Islanders that with those two additions that when we hit the airwaves 2 weeks ago, they were kind enough to do them right during the show. You know, bringing up Letty and Johnny Boychuk that way. And all of a sudden, boy, it's like a lot of great young talent there, new ownership, and it seems a new commitment on Long Island. And you wonder if, I wouldn't say the changing of the guards, but Tavares versus Crosby, there's a lot of interesting subplots there that wouldn't have been the same a year ago.
No, you know what? You're absolutely right on the Islander front because, you know, for an iconic franchise from, again, the 80s and where that franchise has gone, and, you know, the ownership, I mean, Charles Wong, I mean, laughable in many degrees, right? Like, you would just kind of shake your head with some of the stuff that's gone on there during his tenure as owner. And, you know, for them to be going and moving to Brooklyn next year, you know, John Tavares, you know, one of the best in the game today, and a lot of good young talent, as you said. And so for that particular franchise to have a hope and a future, which, you know, with this great start, I mean, that is, you know, one of the better stories thus far early going in this new season.
Take a look at some of the other action that's going on tonight. I mentioned about that. Philadelphia at Dallas. Dallas have been a pleasant surprise this year as well. The last couple of years, it's interesting. Jim Nill, when you talk about that Detroit background, and we had Ken Holland on Hockey Central at noon yesterday, and it's phenomenal. The number of guys with Detroit connections that, whether it's Steve Yzerman, that's a president of the Tampa Bay Lightning, Brendan Shanahan here in Toronto, Paul McLean, coach of the year twice in Ottawa, and the list goes on and on about guys that have come from that Red Wing organization. And certainly Jim Nill with Tyler Seguin, Jason Spezza has had a way about going out and landing some big names.
No, you know what? And Dallas was one of those teams last year, Gord, much like Colorado. I think every year you're going to get a team or two and maybe three that I think really do surprise you. And I think that, you know, obviously the emergence of Jamie Benn. I mean, nobody really knew who Jamie Benn was, you know, gets named to Team Canada. And, yeah, the combination with him and Tyler Seguin was great. Lindy Ruff, you know, going behind that bench after so many years in Buffalo. So the addition of Hemsky and Spezza, I mean, you know, in a real short period of time, Jim Nill has really revamped that organization. And, yeah, they're a fun team to watch now and, you know, make a, you know, earmark a date when Dallas is coming into town because they're worth watching.
Well, tonight, Toronto Maple Leafs, Detroit Red Wings. Red Wings were in town last night. The game is in Detroit tonight. Mentioned the fact Jimmy Howard is on the short-term IR, which goalies can be placed on with a groin injury. Peter Mrazek called up from Grand Rapids. Jonas Gustafsson will get the start tonight. Johan Franzen will be a game-time decision for the Red Wings. On the Leafs side, Brandon Cousin out of the game. Matt Fratton confirmed that he will be in the game tonight.
Yeah, you know, and that injury to Cousin, who's, you know, had a wonderful training camp, and, you know, the ice time has become limited. He provides a, you know, a bit of energy, and it was interesting, you know, to see his role begin to diminish, right, over the course of time, and you wonder how long will he become or still be a Maple Leaf, you know, with that as, you know, as you move forward in the season, you see how things become a bigger boys type of game,
yep.
right? And, you know.
Well, that's what's been encouraging about Stuart Percy.
Yeah.
I know it's only a few games, but exactly. he hasn't the one that's saying, okay, you're kind of slip sliding and falling away. There's, you know, interesting ones about the, you know, Sam Reinhardt, Sam Bennett, one injured, unfortunately.
Darnell Nurse.
The other one's not going to play. Darnell Nurse heading back to the junior as well, yep. and you're finding more and more. And I think I like what Tampa did last year with Jonathan Drouin that basically decided about he was going to go back.
Well, you know, and I played golf yesterday, believe it or not, earlier in the day with Timmy Bernhard, former Maple Leaf goaltender.
He's a great scout, one of the top scouts in the NHL.
Head scout with Arizona. And I was asking him about Max Domi. Mm-hmm. And, you know, because he had high hopes and they did, you know, he was their first round pick two drafts ago and, you know, got sent back to the London Knights after having a very good training camp. I believe, you know, 4 or 5 points in the 6 games that he played. But he says, we're not making that mistake. You know, no, you're going back to junior and we're doing this right. So, you know, again, that's an organizational decision. And some of these young guys do make the jump and perform very well. But in most cases, I think it's a detriment to a lot of 18-year-olds to make that jump from junior and become NHL players and be solid NHL players for the long haul.
You know, it's interesting on the Toronto Maple Leaf front, as a guy that we kind of leave alone, he hasn't been one of the guys that they've sat out or considered sitting out. We'll find out tonight what the scoop is. But, you know, Morgan Rielly, I thought they were making a mistake keeping him last year when they weren't playing him. Well, keeping him for starters, because we went through this with Luke Shen, went through this Luke Richardson, went through this with everybody in between that, and every single time there have been an underage defenseman with the Toronto Maple Leafs, mm-hmm. going back to Al Iafredi, going back to Jim Benning, Bobby McGill, they all would have been better off going back to junior. Certainly a couple of mature guys like Wendell Clark and Vincent Domfus that came up yeah. with junior eligibility playing forward, but it's a whole different animal when you're playing defense. And to Morgan Rielly's credit, Randy Carlyle may have more faith in him than he does Jake Gardner.
No, he does. You know, one of the things would have been, had you sent him back last year to junior, I don't think you would have wanted him to go back to Moose Jaw and develop in Moose Jaw. Not a very good team. If there was a provision maybe that he would get traded to a better team and then do the World Juniors and play, go to the Mora Cup and all that, I can understand that happening. But, you know, there's one thing I think, you know, in hindsight is obviously 2020, but the reason why Morgan Rielly has stayed and his development continues to progress is because of the way he sees the game, his ability to skate, his ability to defend, different than Jay Gardner. He's what, 3 years younger than Jay Gardner?
Yeah.
But he's ahead of Jay Gardner in a lot of aspects of his game because of his just natural smarts and giftedness.
Well, as you said, we'll find out tonight again who the seventh D is for the Toronto Maple Leafs, the healthy scratch, and we'll start counting down. Jim Ralph will join us from Joe Louis Arena as we'll get set for the lineup and everything else for tonight's game between the Toronto Maple Leafs and the Detroit Red Wings. One of the 11 games going on around the National Hockey League. We'll look forward to Ozzie's three keys to the game, which he already kind of went at another Ozzie, Chris Osgood, earlier to get some of those keys. He gave you a couple tips as far as it went with the Detroit Red Wings. Chris Osgood, now an analyst, the former goaltender, of course, for the Detroit Red Wings, and that was the big story tonight that we'll count a little bit about. Jimmy Howard out of the lineup, a big change with Jonas Gustafsson in the lineup, and we're just tracking down our man, Ed Olchuk. Do we have Eddie O? Got Eddie O. Gord Stelic, Mark Osborne, joined by Eddie Olchuk on Hockey Nation. How you doing, Eddie?
Hello, Gord. What's up, Oz?
Hey, ole. I thought we were going to have an intro of some type of music from some Spanish music with a sombrero or whatever.
Yeah, well, you know, you got to do what you got to do. But I thought you might have the call to post, maybe.
Yeah, exactly. And so down the stretch they go.
Hey, Gord, back in the day when I was lucky enough or privileged enough of coming to Toronto, as you know, and playing for you and playing for the Leafs, I got a chance to room with Oz and play on the line with Oz with the great Gary Lehman. But it was interesting sitting on the airplane because we always sat in the exit row, which I felt much more comfortable sitting in the exit row just in case. But Ozzie would have the book and I would have the racing form. So that was an interesting combination of sitting in the exit row while we were flying.
Yeah, you know, not to mention we're flying Air Nicaragua, Convair 640, and make sure that this thing gets off the ground, AO.
Yeah, it was a little rough when you heard the pilots say, "Give me more, give me more." We really weren't sure what the hell that really meant in the days in the late 80s. But good to be with you guys, and hockey season is upon us. So I think there's panic in the streets in some towns already, which is kind of hard to believe.
Well, and good Air Niagara memories. Yes, we got a good rate on those planes, those Converse. I'll tell you that much in the Harold Ballard Air.
What about when we went to Scare Ontario? What was that?
Oh, the good old days. No wonder the road record was so tough. The fear of flying back home. Well, things have changed a lot. And Eddie, there's so many teams we can go around. And of course, you have the Nashville-Chicago game that you're calling tonight. Yeah. But with the Detroit Red Wings, that's who the Leafs are playing tonight. I'm curious what you think Mike Babcock's plan is, what the end game will be at the end of the year as far as whether he stays or goes somewhere else. Because it's going to be a distraction regardless of what they say or hope or think.
Yeah, it is, Gord, but you know what? Like, look, I mean, you know, as a manager, you know this. You let players play out their option. You let players, you know, their contract's going to run out. I mean, there's speculation of whatever. But I really don't think it doesn't affect Mike Babcock for sure, the way he's going to perform behind the bench, and it's not going to affect the players. There is no way. He's been there a long time, 10 years, whatever it is, 11 years. He's done an unbelievable job. He's earned the opportunity to play out his option, and you know, he's going to have lots of opportunities if it does get to that. But I don't think it's going to be an issue. And the one thing I have, and I've seen Detroit now play twice, I mean, they're a much quicker team now than they've been over the course of the last couple of years. I mean, very subtle with some of the young guys that have come in. They've done a really good job there becoming a quicker team. And when you add in, get a Datsyuk back, a healthy Datsyuk, and you have Zetterberg, and you know, you have your Franzen, and you have those type of players. I mean, you know, you can you're going to need that influx of young players, and they've certainly done that. So I don't think it's going to be an issue at all with Mike Babcock moving forward over the course of the year. And it looks like he's going to play it out. And if he does get to that stage, then, the bank vaults are going to open in a lot of cities because you have one of the premier coaches being available to go to a certain organization.
Eddie, I know we're only four, five, six games for some teams into the season. It's very early, and yet there's been a couple of teams that have kind of jumped out in the gate and got off to a real, real good start. And, kind of wondered from you and your perspective, having watched a wonderful team in Chicago for many years. I mean, who are some of the other teams that, kind of have caught your eye in this early going of this new campaign?
Well, it's hard not to look at the Islanders, really. You look at the moves that Garchomov made, didn't give up a whole heck of a lot, and you can argue he's gotten two top five defensemen into a lineup that, I don't want to say was thin on the back end, certainly suspect, but now you've had an experienced guy, a great team guy in Johnny Boychuk. You bring in a guy like Nick Leddy, who's won a Stanley Cup, who's just scratched the surface, I think, on learning how to play the game in his own zone. The skating part is his greatest strength. You know, all players have deficiencies, but he's a guy that I think has tremendous upside, and he really didn't give a whole heck of a lot up. And then most importantly, too, is that the message that was sent to the players inside that locker room and to the coaching staff and to the fan base. The Islanders are a team that are going to be dangerous, not just because they're off to this kind of start. Now, I don't know about Jaro Halak. I don't know if he can be that guy that can get them through a round or two and get to the conference finals, but they've improved their team immensely, in my opinion. And when you have Tavares and Oposo and one guy that I think is really flown under the radar over the course of the last couple of years, and you know, you hear these terms about being underrated. Like, I really believe a guy like Franz Nielsen is a very, very underrated player. Like, I know he was, you know, and not a guy that comes with a lot of fanfare, but a guy that can do a lot. And when you have strength up the middle of the ice and you have strength on the back end and you can get consistent goaltending, great things are going to happen. So for me, in the East, I don't think it's any doubt it's the Islanders and the Devils, which, you know, kind of the starts that they've been off of in games that I've been able to see and watch in its entirety and like what I'm seeing. From a couple of teams that, you know, probably people thought that probably were going to be borderline or on the outside looking in when we get to the first week in April.
Eddie, an organization your brother did work for in Edmonton, your brother Ricky was the assistant general manager, and you're not there anymore. I know, but boy, oh boy, like you keep expecting that this it's going to snap and turn around, and here we're having another season so far of ugliness.
Yeah, very disappointing. And look, my brother was there for 7 years, and he's gone in a different direction. Now he's working for Ronnie Francis in Carolina, and you know, look, knowing Kevin Lowe and Craig McTavish as well as I do, I know it's got to be just breaking those guys up, but it's been like this for year after year. And, you know, you look at some of the drafts and the type of players that they've taken, and they've gone in a certain direction, and, you know, they need some help on the back end. So what do? They go out and spend a boatload of money on bringing in some free agent defensemen, whether it's Mark Fain or Nikita Nikitin. I mean, these guys are serviceable guys, but they're not. You know, they're not top four guys. They're not top three guys. These guys are five, sixes, and sevens on really good teams. And, you know, the goaltending is still a question mark from the chair that I sit in. You can get off the rails pretty quick. I mean, I believe now, Gord, I think they have a long homestand coming, if I'm not mistaken. Like, I think they're home for a good chunk of games, just looking over the schedule over the course of the last 3-4 days.
Yeah.
They got an opportunity here, and you got to get that first one. But I don't think there's any doubt. The pressure's on. We heard a couple of years ago that Dallas Eakins was the next coming, and he was the flavor of the month, and he was going to turn it around or whatever. Where do the fingers stop? And something's got to happen in Edmonton. I don't think there's any doubt about it. I mean, this has been a disappointment for a handful of years. They certainly have a lot of ability up front. They got some skilled guys, but they have a lot of the same type of players. Now, I don't know if Nugent Hopkins is back. I know they were missing I think Eberle might have missed the game when they were out in L.A., I believe, when they got smoked, where they gave up 13 goals in 2 games. So it's just kind of been the same thing over and over, and they just can't get out of this doldrum right now. But I don't think there's any doubt that the pressure's got to be on. When you look at teams around the league and how they've improved and taken steps, you know, it's been lateral pretty much for the Edmonton Oilers over the course of the last 6-7 years.
Eddie, I got a question for you, and I want to get your opinion because you were an 18-year-old kid drafted in 1984, Lemieux first, Kirk Muller second. You were the third pick of
and
the block.
Let me just say this. That was exactly the way it should have gone, just for anybody to think that maybe, you know, I could have maybe moved up a little in the draft. I think that was just right about where I should have went, by the way.
No, he said Mary Lemieux, not Jocelyn Lemieux.
It wasn't Elaine. No, it wasn't Jocelyn.
You go back to last year, and Nathan McKinnon, first overall, you know, Calder Trophy winner. Jonathan Drouin, third overall, goes back to junior. Now we got the case of Sam Reinhardt, drafted second overall by Buffalo this season. First 5 games of the season, he doesn't have a point, and for all indications, he's going to be a healthy scratch. Your thoughts on kids at that age, because you've been there, experienced it. What is in the best interest? Is it organizational, or is it just each guy you've got to treat differently?
Well, you know what, Oz, I think that I can also bring a little bit of a different look to this, or, you know, add to my opinion on this, is because I lived it as a coach in Pittsburgh when we were pretty much doing what the Buffalo Sabres are doing right now. I mean, this is about 3 to 5 years down the road. This isn't about this year. It isn't about next year. I think for any player, I think you got to make sure you have the player's interest at the forefront. I really believe that. And, you know, you get young players in a situation where they're not winning a lot and all those type of things kind of creep into it. And you want these guys to have success. And you don't want guys sitting around for long periods of time, especially when they're 18 years old, need to be learning the pro game. But if they have opportunities to go back to major, junior, or whatever it might be, I think you certainly have to look at that. But I think it is a philosophy of the organization is, you know, where were you, where are you, and where are you trying to get to? And whether it's an 18-year-old young player or you're signing in a free agent, is that, you know, what are his strengths, where can we put him into that, and go from there? But it's a very delicate situation, especially when you have young players. And look, you can have – that's why I think it's important to have that strong leadership inside that dressing room. A guy like Josh Georges that they brought in. Like, I think it's interesting what Buffalo's done, guys, is, you know exactly what their MO is. They're planning for the future. You know, they want to get the highest draft picks that they can, but they still want to put a a team on the ice that is going to entertain and what have you. And look at the money that they spent. And I believe there's no doubt that the floor of the salary cap has a lot to do with teams and how they spend their money because, I mean, Gord, you lived it as a manager. I mean, everybody has a budget. Now it's out there in the public, but you have to spend money in order just to get to the floor. So you wonder, you're bringing in Giunta, you're bringing in Matt Molson, you're bringing in Josh Georges. I mean, are these guys going to be around, you know, 3, 4, 5 years down the road? And when their contracts expire, are they going to want to be there? So I think, Oz, to your question, I think it is about an organizational philosophy, but I think it's up to the get making sure that these kids are playing. They can't be sitting out.
Eddie O, look forward to our weekly visits. We'll talk more about that first-round pick. It was the North Stars pick. They flipped it. We'll get back, though. More Hockey Nation, Gord Stellick, Mark Osborne. We'll count down the Leaf game on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Subscribe to our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Do not settle. Demand. Demand. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand.
Welcome to Leafs Nation pregame. Gord Stellick, Mark Osborne with you on Sportsnet 590 The Fan, the Leafs Radio Network, counting down for the Toronto Maple Leafs taking on the Detroit Red Wings tonight. The second game of a home and home. And let's hope that home sweet home it wasn't. Road sweet road once again it is for the Toronto Maple Leafs like it was last Sunday in the Big Apple, New York City, Oz.
Yes, and, you know, I don't know how you feel about this game. I have a hard time really getting a true read. You know, people are asking me, what do you think? You know, how are the Leafs going to do tonight? And I wish I knew. I wish I honestly had a good feel that, you know what, they're going to rebound. Because, you know, they've got good character, good leadership, all of those types of things. And I'm still just a little bit amiss of how they're going
to
respond.
Well, it's interesting. The comparables to last Sunday's game after a horrible effort against the Pittsburgh Penguins. And you grabbed on to Phil Kessel saying, just his quote, we'll be better tomorrow. That, okay, someone's taken charge and just basically not talked in what ifs, what if, just went out. And said he was going to do it, and he did it, and the team did it as well. Granted, kind of an injury-depleted lineup, including with Brad Richards having to leave early, but still, they did it.
Yeah, they did it, and then they followed it up with a real good effort against Colorado, and now they've taken a step back, and, you know, therefore, against a Red Wing team that, in, you know, my opinion is, you know, not loaded. You know, they're not a deep team. And yet, you know, they're well-coached, they're well-structured. You know, when the Red Wings get the lead, they're pretty good. And, you know, the Leafs, you know, need a real good start tonight just to boost some of their self-confidence and get the Red Wings back on their heels. When we did have Chris Osgood on, I mean, I was asking him after he's been a part of that organization for so long, what are the keys to beat the Red Wings? I didn't need him to tell me what the Leafs have to do. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah, no, but it came off looking really poorly for you that you just asked Chris Osgood to do your homework, basically, about keys to the game to beat the team he covers as an analyst.
But isn't it interesting? I've got my keys, and they had nothing to do with what Chris was talking
about.
Well,
we'll find out a little bit later on, because I remember what Chris was talking about. We'll get Ozzie's keys to the game. And one, obviously, about goaltending. And last week, it was James Reimer that came in, and history hadn't been kind to James Reimer record-wise, that he hadn't had a great record bouncing back from bad efforts, then him being the stopgap guy the next day. He certainly did that last Sunday against the New York Rangers, and now turnabout fair play, Jonathan Bernier is the guy they're hoping can do it.
Yeah, absolutely, and I think for Jonathan Bernier, motivation is there. And, you know, without doubt, his first few starts in this season has been anything but positive. And I know he keeps coming back to his knee for whatever reason, you know, just mentioning that it's not 100%. I'm like always kind of curious, like, why does he keep bringing that up? You know, is that like something to fall back on just in case things don't go well? Is that what it is?
Well, you know, you could interpret it that way.
Well, I am just interpreting it that way.
I know. And I said, we live in a democracy still, so you can interpret. Yeah, it seems like it's something that gives you a go-to excuse if you want.
But I think the tables are set in a favorable way for the Maple Leafs with Bernier having watched on the bench now for 3 straight games. This team is in need of a big win after a poor performance last night. I always found it better to go on the road. This is the first of 3 for the Leafs on the road. And just getting away from here, I think, is going to do this team well, and hopefully it starts early this evening.
Well, the big news on the other side, Jimmy Howard on the short-term IR for the Detroit Red Wings, a groin injury. So Peter Mrazek called up from Grand Rapids. Jonas Gustafsson scheduled to get the start. And again, in talking to Chris Osgood, a lot of people bullish on how Gustafsson played last season. Leaf fans, not such a fond memory, and certainly that preseason game when they arrived late about a week ago Friday, he was deplorable, and he hasn't played so far this season.
No, you know what? And he looked like, well, I mean, he's a big guy. And, you know, one of the faults that I had with him is way too busy, way too much movement. For a big guy, just come out and challenge. You take up a lot of net, and he loses his net quite often. And I didn't see any change in him during that exhibition game. So when Chris Osgood was talking about, wow, you know, he's had a great year, where, well, I haven't yet to see him, you know, play outstanding hockey for the Red Wings, even though his record indicated it was very positive.
Well, and we can, who knows, he could be lights out tonight. We're just going by the game we saw, and certainly the memories of the Vesa Toskala, Jonas Gustafsson, you name it. It was a pretty ugly Andrew Raycroft as well. A pretty ugly couple of years. Yes,
it was the best of times. It was the worst of times, because with goaltenders in this city, you know, like, we've had some wonderful goalies, right? Like, and during the you know, free agent days, you could go out and get a Curtis Joseph and Eddie Belfour, and then you could also get a Andrew Raycroft.
Well, Raycroft came in a trade for Tuukka Rask, even worse. But you're right. Curtis Joseph for 4 years and Ed Belfour for 2 years. So 6 years of the best of times. And it wasn't in the Jonas Gustafsson era. But he's going to try to do it for the Red Wings tonight, make it the best of times for the Red Wings tonight. For the Maple Leafs, you know, one thing they're doing a little bit more is Dave Farish was a longtime assistant coach with Randy Carlyle. And he was always a vocal, verbose guy. But with Carlisle, he never spoke. He just basically, you know, did his job. The assistant coaches, different this year. Both Peter Horachuk's been doing a lot of media, and Steve Spott's been doing a lot of media. It seems like a bit of a different slant.
Well, I think the reason why Steve Spott has done a lot of media is because he had some interesting things to say about Phil Kessel when he went to a coaching clinic that got everybody, we need to talk more to Steve Spott. We might get some interesting sound bites. So that has been the case and the reason.
I know, but quite often the coach organization frowns upon that. I like it. I like hearing different guys. They've both been, like you said, Horachuk's been a head coach in the NHL. Spot coached the Toronto Marlies.
But the demand of media now is so saturated that you have to defer to your assistants and get them more involved.
But I'm just saying they weren't doing that, or Randy wasn't doing it, whether by choice or not. So getting set for tonight's game, here's a little bit from Leafs assistant coach, former Marley head coach, Steve Spott.
It's a matter of playing hard on the puck, all areas of the ice, and for the better part of 60 minutes, if capable tonight?
Well, I think first and foremost, Paul, it's puck management. I think when you look at the turnovers we had last night, especially early in the game, if you turn the pucks over against the Detroit Red Wings, you're gonna pay. And so for us, puck management through the neutral zone, once we do get it in deep, then it's maintaining pressure and getting more pucks and bodies to the net. So it starts with a little bit of a thought, and it finishes up with some work. And if we can combine our brain and obviously our brawn, hopefully that'll serve us well.
And that's puck sense, I guess you're talking about, not skating into the dangerous areas and avoiding that. And a well-coached team from Detroit who are going to challenge in that regard.
Well, they're always above the puck, and they're always in your face. So we have to make sure that we support the puck. And when they do have a good gap against us, that we're willing to lay the puck in behind them and then work to get it back. So that's what we have to do. It's not easy to play a team like this, but that's where we have to get. And, you know, you're not going to score off the rush against the Detroit Red Wings, or it'll be very, very few times that you get that opportunity. So it's about getting your work boots on and being prepared to play 60 minutes.
From a player's perspective, could you just imagine what it's like to take charge of a Johan Franzén and 6 feet, 4 inches tall, 230-plus pounds, and just how difficult it is given the rules today?
Well, yeah, he obviously last night he was a dominant player. You know, for us, I think it's getting in his lanes, it's slowing him up. You know, there are going to be some mismatches with strength, but you can still impede progress by skating through lanes and giving our defensemen an extra second to make a play. So those are the details we have to get to. We've got a real young core of defense. I think sometimes we forget that there is some inexperience in our back end, and we've got to make sure we give those young guys as much time with the puck to make plays as possible.
No fear on that back end. The block shots last night, there were a lot of guys hurting out there.
Yeah, there's some positives that we had to take out of last night, and that's obviously obviously our penalty kill being one, and then, you know, the ability to lay down and block a shot. And so we had a number of guys sacrifice their bodies last night, but that's what you have to do to have success. And we don't just need that from the depth in our lineup. We're going to need that from our front end guys too. That's just a mindset we've got to get to.
And the demarcation line, it seems, for success either way, below 30 shots, you're not going to win a game. And if you prevent the opposition, there's a good chance the Leafs will win.
Well, that's right. You know, the challenge we had last night, Paul, was we had 6 minutes in penalties to start that hockey game. And, you know, when you look at Phil, when you look at JVR, Bozy, that's going to cost them some minutes. So we have to make sure we're smarter here tonight. But we took penalties because we didn't have the puck. So we've got to battle hard for pucks here tonight and hopefully draw a few power plays for ourselves.
Oh, Steve Spott, and you talk about the Troy Bangs having a lot of power play goal, you were saying.
Yeah, that's right. You don't have to mention what part of my keys are going to be yet, Gord.
Oh, okay. Sorry, that's one of them.
Yeah.
Well, so I'm just playing
off to change it. Now.
I'm playing off Steve Spott talking about drawing some power play. You know, when he talks about they got to be smarter, you got to have the effort. I don't know which begets which, but you can be a bright guy strategically, and if you can't play or give the effort, it doesn't matter.
No, without question about that. I mean, you know, and Randy talked about it yesterday. In the first period alone, I think turnovers were 11 and offsides were too many. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's part of the mental aspect of the game. That has got nothing to do with physical. But if you're a step behind, you're turning the puck over, you're just off. And it wasn't just a few guys. It was too many guys.
Well, I better take the break before I take away all your keys to the game as you keep evolving. That's coming up a little bit later on. We will head down Detroit Way, check in with Jim Ralph along with Joe Bowen, of course. We'll give you the play-by-play and color of tonight's tilt. We'll get set. The battle in Motown. The Leafs try to bounce back. You're listening to Leafs Nation pregame with Gord Stellick, Mark Osborne on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and the Leafs Radio Network.
Send us all your money. Sign up for our free podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher, and we'll send you a free subscription for Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand, absolutely free.
Welcome back, Leafs Nation pregame. Gord Stellick, Mark Osborne on Sportsnet 590 The Fan, Leafs Radio Network. We're counting down. Puck drop, the Toronto Maple Leafs in Detroit to take on the Detroit Red Wings. And we chatted about some of the lineup changes that we know of. Of course, Brandon Kozin, for example, will be out due to injury. Some will await to hear. But let's head down Detroit Way. Jim Ralph will provide the color commentary tonight. He joins us from Joe Louis Arena. How you doing, Ralphie?
Good, Gordy. How are things?
Well, things are good. And you were there for the bounce back in New York last Sunday from the bad effort against Pittsburgh. Did you get a sense that there's the mindset, like Phil Kessel last week basically kind of promised they would bounce back? Did you get a sense that their heads are more into it tonight?
Well, I mean, that's pretty tough without the pregame skate. And I think is what's scary is that now we're in the sixth game of the regular season and you're talking about a team having to bounce back twice. I don't know if you want to test that theory too often. I think you're a little bit of trouble if you got to keep bouncing back. It's going to be interesting to see what the difference will be. Jonathan Bernier gets a starting goal for Toronto. Jonas Gustafsson for Detroit. So that's a couple of significant changes. Looks like Stuart Percy, too. Gordy and Ozzy may be the odd man out on the blue line as Robidov was going to draw back in. And Matt Fratton is going to be coming in for Brandon Kozin.
Now, Daniel Winnick, I know, Jim, one of only maybe a couple of other forwards that are willing, I think, to get in the shooting lane as far as, you know, forwards go. Blocked a couple of shots yesterday. Is he back in, slated to be okay? Because I think besides Carter Ashton, he'd be the only other healthy guy that the Leafs could rely upon.
Yeah, well, Ozzy, Carter Ashton was out for warm-up, but Winnick was taking the line rushes.
Okay.
So it looks like Winnick will be able to go. And, Fratton was on the fourth line replacing Brandon Coles. On the other side, might be the biggest break is Franzen had not in the lineup for the Detroit Red Wings. Apparent shoulder injury late in the second period. He didn't play in the third period last night, but already did the damage with the two goals before he left. So Steven Weiss actually draws in for the first time this year for Detroit up front.
Well, two big injuries from last night, and Jimmy Howard and Johan Franzen for the Detroit Red Wings. And Ralphie, two-part. I mean, one, do you have a feeling when Howard injured himself? And the other is, What's your take on Jonas Gustafsson? Chris Osgood, we had him on earlier. They like it the way he played last year for the Red Wings. I still can't shake the Leaf memories, and boy, he had a tough game that preseason game here.
Yeah, it's hard to say with him, and it was certainly. I remember when he came to Toronto, and I know Francois Allaire was coming in, and there might have been some difference in opinions or philosophies when it came to Gustafsson. But if you go on YouTube and you looked up his, there was a highlight package of him playing in Sweden, and he was not even close to the same goaltender that we saw with the Leafs, where it seemed to be a much more rigid and tried to be a lot more calculated. Where, you know, the highlight reel from Sweden. He was unbelievable. He was athletic, looked a lot more like Pekka Rinne, I thought, than, you know, with his size and his agility than he did, you know, maybe a poor man, Jean-Sébastien Jaguar. But it's going to be interesting to see if, with Peter Mrazek, I know, is brought up to back up tonight. The Red Wings are very high on him. So Gustafsson might be playing at least to impress somebody else around the league that he can continue on here. Only played 27 games last year. Health is always a concern, but the style Jim Bedard really seems to have him, I don't know, playing a much more controlled game, but following the puck more. It's not all about elbows in, knees in, gap control, you know, play the odds. I think he's much more agile, but in a controlled manner.
Ralphie, what are you more interested in seeing that's going to be a better indicator for you? Would it be the defense and how they gave up three kind of goal-mouth goals against for the Maple Leafs where they were just, you know, not very sharp, or the forwards? Apart from that third line yesterday, for me, it didn't seem as though we just were getting into the flow of things as a collective group up front. So is it the forwards for you or the D?
I'm going to say forwards a little more. I think a lot of it has to do with Ozzie. You know, I thought the game Wednesday against Colorado might have been the best Leaf game I'd seen in 5 or 6 years. As far as generating opportunities and puck possession off the forecheck, every time they threw it in, there was speed going after the puck, and the Colorado defense couldn't handle it. Then we get back to the game on Friday, and all of a sudden it's the Hail Marys again. It's, you know, the forwards are 70 feet up ice looking for the breakaway pass. They don't get it. They've got to hang around the blue line and be stationary until the puck gets into the zone. Now there's no – I mean, I still think it's the forwards have to, you know, A, help out on their own end, give the defense a target when they're coming out, and enter the offensive zone with speed together. And it seemed like they reverted back to what we saw in the first couple of games of the regular season, or maybe more of what we saw last year, where if they don't generate anything off the rush, there's no scoring opportunities and no way they can win a game. So I'm going to be interested to see if they can get, if the game against Colorado, was it a fluke, or is it something they've got to look at and say, boys, this worked pretty well, we got to stick with it.
All the other things aside, as you know, it does so much come down to goaltending. Do you ever think Jonathan Bernier is the story? Do what James Reimer did last Sunday, not give up that first questionable goal of the game like he did his first two?
Yeah, I think that's part of it. I still think it was almost, I thought they were okay against Detroit last night, then they give up the first goal. And even though it wasn't a bad one, it seemed to take the air out of their tires. So it's a lot of pressure for a goaltender to go in and feel like you're starting in overtime, that your team isn't going to be able to recover if you give up the first goal of the game. If we score first, they seem to be fine. But for Bernier, yeah, a lot of it's going to be, you know, not giving up the one that even sort of looks bad. And I'm talking about a point shot that might be redirected in front, but it has a bad look to it, and everybody starts to go, here we go again. And that's, I mean, let's face it, that's what they did with James Reimer the last 14 games of the season, that as bad as they were in front of him, everybody seemed to be looking over their shoulders at the guy that made the last mistake and let him take the brunt of it. So it's going to be interesting to see if Bernier can bounce back, and it's an opportunity for him to go in his own role of playing 4 or 5 games in a row if he's able to get the win. But you're right. I still think, Gordy, it's a fragile team enough that any kind of perception of bad goaltending or a soft goal here or there, right now they don't seem to have the ability to overcome that adversity.
Jimmy, I know that the Zetterberg, Nyquist, and Franson not playing tonight, yet that line accounted for 8 points. Zetterberg, 4 assists, and I'm pretty certain that Phaneuf and Franson will draw the assignment. Are you okay with that? I mean, obviously, I think you want to see more of a defensive focus as a five-man unit. But are these guys up to the task? What are you looking for those pair?
I'm looking for them to be more aggressive. I mean, you've got to have forwards back, so it's not an odd man situation in your own zone. But I think there's a fine line, Ozzy, and I mean, he played the Gretzky era where, you know, if it was that easy to stop them, more teams would do it. But I'm a big believer in you can't give them time. And Zetterberg, as good as he was in the plays that he made, he had way too much time to do it. And I think that was a killer. I mean, I think he's one of those guys that you've got to force him. If he's going to make the great play, make him do it in a split second. And that's what I'm looking for from Franzen and Phaneuf. It's got to be more going forward and attacking than it is sitting back in your heels and you know, trying to be like the table hockey defenseman that's just sort of spinning their stick one way or another, hoping to get a piece of something. So I think it all comes down to aggression. Like I said, it's still a five-man unit in your own zone. But I look for them to be a lot more aggressive instead of passive. And I thought the third period, after the Leafs scored to make it 3-1, I thought they got worse defensively. It just seemed that they got caught standing alone in their own zone, drew some penalties, and the aggression that we saw, especially against Colorado and even in New York, it was just gone. They looked like a team that was somewhat confused and scared in their own zone again to make a mistake. So we'll see if being on the road and playing the Red Wings in back-to-back games is the cure for that.
Well, looking forward to better things tonight, like you say, from Leaf fans' point of view. You and Joe will have the call for us. Thanks for teeing things up, Ralphie.
All right, thanks, Corey. Thanks, Austin.
Jim Ralph, the color analyst for the Toronto Maple Leafs, along with Joe Bowen. They'll have all the action tonight on Sportsnet 590, The Fan, and the Leafs Radio Network. The much-vaunted, and boy, the hype, you got to talk about it. Ozzie's three keys to success to the game. That'll be coming up next as we count down to the puck drop, the Leafs and the Detroit Red Wings. You're listening to Leafs Nation pregame. Gord Stellick, Mark Osborne with you on Sportsnet 590, The Fan, and the Leafs Radio Network.
As an unlicensed doctor, we suggest a prescription for one of our shows. Sign up for our free podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Fake doctor's orders. Sportsnet 590, The Fan, on demand.
Well, from overanalyzing, we will keep it simple as we count down the puck drop between the Leafs and Detroit Red Wings. Gord Stellick, Mark Osborne, welcome you back to Leafs Nation pregame. Time now, when I say make it simple, it's the keys to victory. Keys to victory are brought to you by the Toronto area Ford dealers. Test drive a Ford Focus, Escape, Edge, or Fusion. Vehicles made for any Canadian season, and swap your ride today. Ozzie doing last-second homework as well, as he's gone all over the place with these keys to the game trying to get it right.
No, I haven't, Gord. I just wanted to give you a little bit of tidbit, but my number one key is Gete Jonas Gustafsson is without doubt making his first start of the season. He's played one other game against his former team. He won that game, but his save percentage was like .886, and over 3.69 was his goals against. So Gete Gustafsson, you and I both are not fans of him. Clean up the D zone is number two without question. Three tap-in goals, way too easy last night. Play and bring some of that passion and edge defensively against this Red Wing hockey club. And number three, score on the power play. Your power play, you had five goals through your first three games. The last two games, you're 0-for-7. The Red Wings, on the other end of things, have yet to give up a power play goal this season. They're perfect, 10-for-10. So those are my three keys for the game this evening, Gordon.
Well, we will, of course, review those afterwards in Leafs Nation postgame. We will be back. We'll be back in the intermissions as well to go over after 20 and after 40 minutes. And, you know, one other key for the NHL just in general, Gustav Nyquist, he leads the NHL in goals scored since last Christmas. The festive time, I bet you could have got to put a lot of money down and guess who would be the leading goal scorer in regular season games. Gustav Nyquist with 28 goals. He's had four goals in four games this year. And the few games he's played against the Leafs, he's been a Leaf killer.
Well, he certainly has, and what a great start, and what a great surprise, I think, you know, for the Red Wings. I mean, to be able to get a guy from Grand Rapids in your system to bring him up and to be able to deliver like he has, I think, has got everybody surprised, and, you know, good on those are nice stories that you like to see, even if it is for the opposition.
Well, absolutely, and for Detroit, two big blows, Jimmy Howard out. Jonas Gustafsson in, Howard out with a groin strain, and Johan Franzen, one of the stars in last night's game, will not be playing for the Red Wings tonight, so that is some big news. Steven Weiss will be in for him. Stay tuned. We've got the action coming up. You've been listening to Leafs Nation pregame. Sports Delic, Mark Osborne with you on Sportsnet 590 The Fan, the Leafs Radio Network. Stay tuned and enjoy the game.